It's Trainer and the Big Mouse in your feckin' house with feckology. Feckology. The observations that we make and promises we break with no apologies. No apologies. It's Trainer and the Big Mouse in your feckin' house with feckology. Feckology. The observations that we make and promises we break with no apologies. No apologies. So get your lollies and listen to Feckology. Welcome to episode 6 of Feckology. This is the podcast that makes the unfunny funny, the uninteresting slightly more interesting, and the unserious seem serious. And this is the Big Mouse, and I'm here with my co-host, as always, Trainer. And Trainer, do you have anything to say to the community, man?
The community, man. The last episode wasn't as successful as the shit friendships one. I think we really hit on something there with shit friendships, and then the advice one was maybe a little less well received, so to speak. But it appears people are still listening. I'm still getting comments, still getting feedback. Shout out to Eric and Jonathan from Maiden A to Z, who I'm in a chat group with on Facebook Messenger, and who were commenting on the last few episodes. So fair play for listening to those. And Jonathan especially is very on board with the new format. He was initially not on board, but he said, and then he said after the latest episode, he's like, I'm glad I didn't offer you any advice on the format, because he eventually got to like it after listening to the five of them. So there you go. Others as well. So, you know, thanks if you've been listening. I know Melissa shared on Twitter there as well recently, and Uncle Steve even was making comments about the advice one. So thanks to everyone who's been listening, talking, and communicating with us about recent episodes of Feckology.
Yes, it's great for the ego. Thank you very much. It's appreciated. Now, moving on swiftly to today's topic for Feckology. This is akin to a kernel of truth from the previous podcast we had, the Feckin' Check-In. But without further ado, I'm going to hand it over to you, Trainer, to reveal this week's topic, which is a kernel of truth.
Yeah, so this is a quote from Rich Webster. Now, I read this as one of those box quotes you see posted up on Facebook, that type of thing. And initially I agreed with the sentiment of the quote, but then eventually I thought about it a bit more and I realized that it's one of these things that's kind of talking about living your best life, that type of vein, and we'll get to it in a second, which when you think about it a bit longer, you realize there's a lot more to it than the little two or three sentences that you see slapped up on social media. Anyway, Rich Webster, I had to Google him. So Rich Webster is a person who has various social media accounts, and his whole shtick is, I teach people how to work less. I built a $500,000 design agency in 15 hours per week. So this is what he goes on about in all of his various different social media platforms. He talks about getting rich for working 15 hours per week, basically. And he has all these little sound bites, all these little quotes related to that, tied in with the overall brand. So he seems quite popular on Instagram. He has a fuckload of followers. He's like 323,000 followers on Instagram. So, you know, an influencer type of person. Mm. And just for reference here, I'm looking at a photo of him, and he has his hair adorned in a man bun.
Oh.
A man bun. Just for reference, if that influences your opinion on the man in any way. Now, so this quote, let's get on with it. I saw it on Facebook, somebody posted it up, and immediately after reading it, I agreed with it. So have a listen to this. 20 years from now, you'd give anything to be this exact age, exactly this healthy, and back in this exact moment. Now take a second to enjoy it. Now. And I would like to stress that the last sentence has the words, now take a second to enjoy it, and then without any punctuation, full stop, comma, or anything, it capitalizes the N on the final now. So it's emphasizing that now, as in like, now take a second to enjoy it. Now. So it didn't go quite into full caps, but it did capitalize the first letter on the second now within the sentence. So you're looking at that going, yeah, 20 years from now, you'd give anything to be this exact age, this exact, exactly this healthy, and be in this exact moment. And you think back, well, at my age and yours as well, I'm 38, and you think, oh yeah, to be 18 again, the things I would do differently, you know, if I could make a couple of different choices, I probably would make different ones, and my life would probably work out better than it is now. you think to yourself, you know, optimistically, and ruling out the fact that any of those other choices you made could have caused a butterfly effect and could have ruined your entire life. But this kind of sentiment is plastered all over Facebook. I think this was more palatable than the usual dross of that type of sentiment. But this one was kind of aimed at maybe people like us, actually, who are in middle age or approaching middle age, depending on whose definition you use. And I think it's kind of aimed at people like us saying, when you're 58, you'll fucking regret if you don't do things at this age when you're able to that you cannot do then, possibly due to failing health, possibly due to your personal circumstances, due to your age, etc. So I won't say anything further on this. When I sent that to you, what was your take on that quote?
Well, it's something that I've seen elsewhere, versions of this. I recently saw on TikTok, Jimmy Carr, the comedian, had another version of this with, you know, that sentimental music in the background where he's found out the key to life and he's preaching at you. It wasn't this exact one, but it was some like, make the most of now. So that would have been my first reaction. Oh, that's one of those comments or kernels of truth about making the most of now. Kind of empty, flat, and making the complicated seem simple.
Very good. Yeah, so my response to it was, you know, making the most of life versus responsibility. So when he's saying now take a second to enjoy it now, this kind of puts pressure on you as the person reading this to act in some way. It's kind of like those spam emails you get saying your account has been locked. You know, your Netflix account has been disabled, your PayPal account has been compromised, please click here, and you know, now, immediately. There's always an urgency to it, and I found there was an urgency with this, especially with that capitalized N. And it's kind of I was kind of thinking to myself, yeah, making the most of my life, but you know, I'm also an adult now, currently, as well as I will be in 20 years time, and I have responsibilities as an adult, and I don't know what he's expecting me to do to make the most of it or take a second to enjoy it, but I'm not sure if it's as simple as saying it and then us as the reader of this doing it. So it's this kind of inherent pressure of enjoying your life, and this comes at you from all angles as an adult. I find it's kind of like everywhere you turn, somebody's telling you, you're wasting your life, you fool. You know, you idiot. You've made wrong decisions in the past. Now, don't make any of those again, right in this moment. You know, yesterday's history, tomorrow is a mystery. You've only got today. We used those as song lyrics one time, and it was my idea. But now I look back on those and go, that was ridiculous. If I could go back 20 years ago, I'd change those.
We also had a song called Seize the Day.
I know we did.
Your dreams. They slip away,
yeah.
But you can seize the day.
And again, this was me.
Solemn.
Yeah, I wrote that. It's chorus. And but then I was thinking to myself, like, how do you know you're making the most of something until after the fact? So I can look back to my 18-year-old self. And as I mentioned on a previous episode of Feckin' Metal, actually, at the time when we were choosing what we wanted to do in college, I wanted to do media arts. I didn't get the points for it. I ended up doing a business course, and I wish I hadn't done that, right? And I think had I done what I wanted to do, I would have found some job in the media, and I would have found something that was more suited towards my personality. I might have met better people, as in people who were a better match for me personality-wise. I could have made some lifelong friends, and maybe I'd be in a job now that I absolutely love. But I only have I only know all of this through the benefit of hindsight, because I'm 20 years older now and I can look back, and that is time stamped. 18 years old, I'm choosing what I wanted to do in college. It's time stamped in my life, in my memory, in my psyche. But I don't know now at this moment in time what I might regret in 20 years. And I don't know if I'm taking a moment to enjoy it enough for my 58-year-old self. And the only time I will know whether or not I'm enjoying this moment enough for my 58-year-old self is when I'm 58.
Looking back, hindsight is 20/20. And as a kind of a note of trivia, I had media arts down as my first choice on the CAO form when we went to university. And I did get the points for it, but then I pulled out of it at the last minute due to parental pressure. Really, I took their advice, hashtag. So, yes, but even if you look back to 18, like you can imagine, oh, if I'd known then what I know now, I would have acted differently. But that's nonsense though, isn't it? Because you can only act based on the information that you have at that current time and your feelings at the current time. how you act socially at that time, what you want to do, your biology, your hormones, how you feel in certain days. All of those things are coming into, they're going to influence how you act in the moment. And it just brings me to another question. When he talks about now, is he saying like right now, or is he saying now as in like in a extended period of time? Because he says it now twice. He says, now take a second to enjoy it now. Yeah. There's no need for the second now. It's redundant.
Yeah.
Does he mean like, how are we supposed to do that right now? Are we all supposed to just stop right now and take a second to enjoy it?
Yeah. Like, let's say you're in the middle of a Microsoft Teams meeting in work. Do you sit there and go,
yes,
fucking hell, this is life, isn't it? Isn't it great?
Isn't this fantastic? Or even right now in this conversation, how are we supposed to make the most of it? But like, would making the most of it not be like having the conversation?
Yeah. Should we be doing something better? Should we be doing something better by his, like how he measures things, by his metric? Should we be doing something better than this? Is this making the most? And that's my next question. What is the most? How do you know? I know he doesn't use the word most, right, in his quote, but that's what he's getting at. We know what he's getting at. In a roundabout, sneaky, fucking underhanded, slithering way, he's doing the same as all those other quotes are. He's just dickied it up a little better, a little more palatable, as I said. But what is it? What he's telling you to do is make the most of now. But like, what is the most? How is it measured? How can you possibly measure the most of each situation? And each situation is entirely different from another situation. So it's like all these people who are preaching at you is saying, I did this and I worked 15 hours a week. And you get, good for you. Good for you. But, you know, did you make the most? Maybe you could have worked 14 hours a week. Or maybe you could have worked 13. Didn't you strive to work 13 hours per week and you had those extra 2 hours to enjoy now?
That reminds me of those people who are like, you know, those guys who are like, I got up at 5:30 this morning and I did 2 hours in the gym before I started my day. And then there's another guy, I got up at 4:30 this morning and did yoga and meditation before you even got out of bed.
That's you're getting into that area of the Four Yorkshire Men. Have you ever seen that Monty Python sketch?
No, have not.
So it's called the Four Yorkshire Men. It's very famous. You could look it up afterwards. I think you'd enjoy it. But it's these four Yorkshire men, right? But they've done well in their life. But they came from, let's say, working class or maybe even poverty. And they're each trying to outdo one another about how much they worked when they were young and how poor they were. And it's like, I used to get up in the morning at 10 a.m. I used to do 14 hour day for £2 a week, blah, 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 blah. And it keeps going on and on and on. And then it gets to the absolutely ridiculous then. So some bloke is like, I used to get it up in the morning at 10 o'clock at night before I'd gone to bed. So nice. He's basically like just taking it to the extreme. But when I see those types of things, like I used to go to the gym and blah, 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 it just reminds me of that. Yeah. And that was like 50 years ago that sketch came out and it was completely spot on.
Yeah, it's still going on today. It was back in the past, this sort of competition and this forceful advice. It relates to last week in a way. That was one of my first thoughts when you shared it to me. I was like, this is more of this advice stuff.
I think it is. It's kind of advice, but it's also life coaching, right?
That's the word.
And this is the thing that kind of irritates me is life coaches who present what they've done as the measure of success and then vaguely tell you how to achieve it with platitudinal fucking statements like that. Take a second to enjoy it now.
Yes. And I've just Googled their sunscreen lyrics from last week because that came up for me when I read this as well. At least in the sunscreen song by Baz Luhrmann or whatever, the speaker has a bit of humility in it. So he starts off the song by saying, if I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience.
Yeah.
So, these guys don't have any humility to note that it's about their experience. And maybe for Rich Webster, this quote means a lot to him or him saying these things, but he doesn't have the humility to recognize that it probably is meaningless to lots of people.
That's it. I mean, and he has a man bun as well. So
yes.
How can we take this man seriously?
This exact age, exactly this healthy, and back in this exact moment. It doesn't make sense as well.
Well, do you know what it is? It's Back to the Future 2 type stuff here.
Yeah.
So, you know, with the benefit of time travel, can you determine whether or not that you would have preferred to have been back in this exact moment at this exactly this healthy and all this. And again, hindsight as well. It's the huge factor here. We don't know yet the mistakes we're making until long afterwards, usually. So kind of telling you to enjoy something now. Great. I mean, I try to, but like, he's kind of telling you about what you'll feel in the future, even though, one, he isn't you, and two, he doesn't know.
Yeah. And what are we supposed to do after the second we take to enjoy it?
Yeah.
What comes next? Like, we can't keep taking a second to enjoy it, because then we wouldn't do anything.
Well, you'd never get anything done, would you?
No. So,
I mean, there are certain things you have to do, which supersede taking a second to enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. Work commitments, various responsibilities in life. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
cleaning the toilet.
Yeah, cleaning the toilet.
Doesn't matter how many, you know, it doesn't matter if I reflect upon my health and my age, my relative youth, I'm never going to enjoy cleaning the toilet.
Yes, exactly. And if you are doing a poop, how are you supposed to enjoy that to the maximum? I don't know if I'm making sense at this stage.
I do enjoy going for a shit, I won't lie to you.
Toilet humour. Is there anything to be gleaned from this that is useful? Like, do you ever go back to that 18 years old idea? Do you ever go back and think, do you ever regret things?
Yes, and you know, people who say no regrets, all that, I've always found that difficult to agree with, or to connect with, let's say, rather than agree with. Of course you're going to have regrets. I have regrets sometimes about what I got for lunch. You know, if I'm in a restaurant and somebody orders something better than me, I regret that.
Yeah.
And then there's the huge life choices as well. I'm being deliberately fucking facetious here. But, you know, I do regret major life decisions. Of course I do. But it's only later on that you can determine that you made the wrong decision back in time, essentially. And at the time, you probably think you are making the most of it. You probably think you are enjoying it. You probably think you're making the right decision. You probably thought that the carbonara was the correct choice to go with. And then you see somebody and they have a meatball sub and you regret it.
And I just think as well, like, you can look back at your regrets and pinpoint regrets, to things you could have done better or differently or anything. But I don't know what that is right now. What am I supposed to do with that for this week? Like, am I supposed to change my plans? I don't know if the things I've planned to do over the weekend are the right things or the wrong things.
And
you're going away on holidays, aren't you? Or vacation for our American listeners. You're going away on vacation. Is that the right or wrong thing to do? I don't know. Will you regret that in 20 years?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to a festival, and I'll tell you, last year I regretted it because I got shit-faced drunk, passed out in the bleachers, and I got dropped home by the police one night. So I definitely regret all of that.
But were you not taking a second to enjoy it?
I was at the time. I thought I'd enjoyed it too much. That was the problem. But at the time, I thought I was making the correct decision. But in hindsight, I look back on that and go, Jesus, you made some terrible decisions there.
That was a legendary one. Waking up in the ditch, was it? The German ditch?
I didn't wake up in the ditch. I did fall into a ditch, and I got the police car pulled over, picked me up and dropped me home to my hotel, which is very nice of them. In 2 days' time, I hope to correct that and to have that stricken from the record with a flawless victory over the same festival in 2024. But yeah, at the time, I thought I was doing the best things I should be doing with my life. The things that maybe I fought against and I railed against not being able to do at previous times in my life. And I'm like, I'm going to do this because this is the thing that I want to do. And I made an absolute balls of it. Even when you think you're taking time to enjoy it, you can fuck it up still.
Exactly, exactly. You can enjoy it in the wrong ways. You can enjoy yourself too much, as you said. Yep. And that could be very detrimental depending on what you're doing.
Well, I had horrendous fear for about a week after that. And then smatterings of fear over the last 12 months. The fear. When you've been out drinking. Yeah.
So you took...
Alcohol regret.
You took a second to enjoy it too much, and then you regretted it for a year.
Yeah, exactly.
So
still to this day in some ways. So fuck you, Rich Webster.
I was going to say we could finish off by saying, what would you say to Rich Webster if he was here in front of you now?
I'd say, sling your smarmy hook.
That sounds like a good way to finish things off. Thank you, listener, for listening to this week's episode of Feckology. I've been the Big Mouse. This has been Trainer. Trainer, do you have any final words for the listener?
Yeah, take my advice. Don't listen to me. I put that on Twitter, but for anyone who isn't on there, it's a good one. It's a Neil Young quote.
And I will just say, take a second to enjoy our marvellous theme tune outro now.
Brilliant.
Right. We used to get up in morning at 10:30 at night, half an hour before we'd gone to bed, eat a lump of poison, work 29 hours a day at mill for 8-year lifetime, come home and each night Dad would strangle us and dance about on our graves.
Aye, will you try and tell that to the young people of today? Will they believe you?
No!
It's Trainer and the Big Mouse in your feckin' house with Feckology. Feckology. The observations that we make and promises we break with no apologies. No apologies. It's Trainer and the Big Mouse in your feckin' house with Feckology. Feckology. The observations that we make and promises we break with no apologies. No apologies. So get your lollies and listen to Feckology.